Well, if you were able to hear the story, The Runaway Bunny, this morning, you might have noticed a change in tone about halfway through. Do you remember the mother is being very insistent? She will find her bunny no matter where it goes. If you run after me, said the little bunny, I will become a fish in a trout stream, and I will swim away from you. If you become a fish in the trout stream, said his mother, I will become a fisher and I will fish for you. And so it goes, with one running and the other trying to close in. The turnaround, though, comes as the mother shifts to a more invitational tone. So when the little bunny says, if you are a gardener and find me, I will be a bird and fly away from you. The mother says, ah, if you become a bird and fly away, I will be a tree you can come home to. A little bit more appealing? Makes you want to stay in relationship with this mother just a little bit more? There's a similar shift in the gospel story. You may have heard a very familiar call story. It goes something like this. Jesus will make you fishers of people. Remember that one? And you will be catching people. Just like I am catching people. Makes me squirm a little bit, listening to that language, let alone what radio preachers have done with it. But John seems to get it. There's a bit of shift in this story. The background, of course, is Jesus is beginning his ministry. He's calling folk to join his movement, to be a place where everybody's light comes shining through, not empire with its ways of domination and control, but the reign of God shining through in how we live together. Well, although none of us want to be hooking and catching people according to that old story, John tells it a little bit differently. The language is simpler and more invitational. Come and see, Philip says. Come and see. A friend of mine has just started yoga and doesn't particularly want to be seen. Picks out a spot at the back where no one really sees him starting to learn these moves. Some of Jesus' first disciples were people who didn't particularly want to see. They just seemed to be hanging around. Like Nathanael. All we know about Nathanael is he was behind a tree. Maybe he was shy. Maybe he liked to watch things. Maybe he was a deep thinker. Philip comes by and says, come and see this guy from Nazareth. Nathanael answers somewhat cynically, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see. So while the story is spare in details, as Nathanael does go to meet Jesus, there's a quick verbal interchange that somehow intrigues him. But the clincher is when Jesus obviously gets him. Home, they say, is with the people who get us. And Nathanael says, where did you get to know me? Jesus says, I saw you under that fig tree. And without going into it, there's an implication here of a connection, some authentic connection that intrigued Nathanael enough to take the next step. Which really is all we can ask of each other in the moment. So this morning, I'd like to focus on an invitation. What if we were to see ourselves as a community of call? John was doing more than telling stories about Jesus calling individuals. He was creating communities of call where people invited one another to something good. They were starting something good. They were tasting something good. Come and join with us. Let's make it together. It was intriguing. It was on the go. It was a movement. Deep inside each of us is a mystery that we spend our lives, if we're lucky, unwrapping and other people helping us in love unwrap. Psalm 139 talks about this. That God is with us in a very deep sense, knowing us intimately. And even though we have our ways of playing hide and seek from the intimacy of others knowing us, we do want to be found and known. There is something really good about old friends, isn't there, who get us. Getting a call out of the blue from someone who gets us, even if we haven't kept up that connection. There is something really good there. Unwrapping the sacred story of a person's life is partly what we do in community. Sacred also can be mistyped as scared for any of you who often type the untied church instead of the United Church. I've done my share with sacred and scared, but it's the flip side of the coin. Isn't it great to be in community where our scared selves can come out and be trusted enough and be trustworthy enough to be known in our joyful places, in our scared places? So there's something intriguing to this Nathaniel, this kind of loner under his tree, to join with some people and start to create this space and invite others into it. The other thing about the story is Jesus doesn't start with the limitations and the faults and the weaknesses. Oh, we know ourselves only too well, don't we, as adults? We've had some experience and we're the worse for wear. We know where our idealism dried up. We know the gaps and defects in our character. We know when we've held back, when we should have stepped up. We know when we've blundered ahead, when we might have thought about it, and so on it goes. This is not the starting point for the call stories. It's simply, come and see, come meet somebody, come meet a few other people. Let's see what we can create. What if we could learn from these stories this morning? So one level is, come and see. And in fact, there's a steady parade of you coming to the mics every Sunday morning saying, come and see. Do you remember Lois Kunkel going to Liberia, coming back? She went to see where she'd grown up. She came back with a story about women rebuilding after a civil war. She took others to come and see. And now we're with her as we support those women through our givings. Where's Lynn Brennan? She went to Nepal. Come and see. We go and come and see. We come and see partly by finding the clothes and the scarves and the colors that support those people doing their work. I can look out here and say the same about most countries in Africa, just about all of Asia, Central America, the list goes on. As Nicholas said this morning, I climbed the second highest mountain in Guatemala. Come and see. Eventually his family will share some of their experiences in Guatemala. One day, I just went back to Bloor Street. I was invited back to some silly debate. Are tall ministers better than short ministers? The short ones won. That always happens. The tall ones have to hang back because we don't want to overpower anyone, do we? Anyway, there I was at the silly debate, went to the dinner afterwards, and someone came up to me and said, have you ever been to the Holy Land? No. Don't want to go on one of those Disneyland tours. No. Come on, you should think about it. Three of our churches are going. I thought, well, I guess every minister should go to the Holy Land once in their lifetime. Okay. Little did I know I'd be spending a month dodging, we won't even go into it, back roads in the West Bank, sonic boomed in Nablus as the Israeli army was around us, getting into Gaza as South African doctors were arriving with medicines. It was life-changing. The thing is, once you go and come and see, then we have to get others to come and see and help. And that's when we need communities to say, guess what I saw? Do you want to know? And thank goodness, some folk do. What if we were to become communities where we can share what we've seen and others might even go and see? Lois is taking young people and others, youth on Bloor, to the Dene Nation next summer. Who's going here? Anybody in church right now? Who's going? Stick up your hand. Are you all youth on Bloor today? There will be a group going. Come and see something that was formative in my life, but also formative in the life of Canada and in our church. Come and see. So something else we can learn from this story is be here now in that moment. Nathanael was there, took a step of coming to meet somebody. Be here now, not stressed out about scenarios in the future or dragging our past failures behind us, but being in this moment, showing up, being open to a conversation, being open to exploring connections, authentically being here. That's all we can ask of each other. Be here now. If we're lucky, there's coffee for us. I happen to know there is today. Those of you who think coffee is one of those inglorious tasks, it's the whole foundation for a community of call, right? If there's no coffee, why would we go out there and hang around and maybe talk to somebody who's leaning against that bulletin board? Be here now in this moment. Show up. Talk to somebody you haven't talked with before. Invite them to something that you think is good. It might not even be our church. It might be something somewhere else. Start to explore and allow for connections to happen. It's amazing. One day at the newcomer's lunch, I was standing there and a tall young man named Sandy approached me and I said, "So where are you from?" He's obviously a young adult and I learned he was from Kingston and Ottawa and I learned he was at OISE and I learned he was involved with youth groups. And then Sandy said to me, "So tell me about your journey with ministry." I just about fell over. It's very nice. And somehow in 5 minutes while we got our sandwiches together, it was really nice to say something about my journey of ministry, and he was really interested. And that conversation, got you on my wavelength, and so I was able to invite you to something else, and boom, he was then an actor in Shirley Farlinger's play, right? So these moments of showing up, being here now, are good. Okay, but where's the hook, you're wondering? Of course we have an agenda when we say, come and see our church, right? Okay, I'm coming clean with it now. We do encounter scriptures. Like them or hate them, we encounter them. There they are. We had a particularly squirmy one this morning. I thought maybe I'd leave our prayer person to deal with them. Mary Margaret, where are you? You could have a funkier way of saying that tough scripture. We don't really want to come to church and hear about sexual immorality, do we? We've had enough homophobic hatred coming from religious people. But in fact, these scriptures get wrapped in a language that's off-putting, but contains some core truths. Paul, in his wisdom, was trying to say that our bodies truly are a continuum with our spirit and our mind. There is no body-mind split. And so, let's accept that our bodies are a channel of the divine and treat our bodies with respect and pleasure and treat others the same way. Paul was writing in a seafaring town where anything went and there was a lot of exploitation with the excesses. And Paul was saying, let's enjoy each other amongst everything that's available, but let's respect each other and not exploit each other. Okay, we come to church and we see ministers in gowns. Well, not me, and I'm not trying to be hip and cool. Mine is too long, and I'll trip over it, and I'm recovering from a kneecap injury. Haven't had a chance to get it sewn up. So there you go. That's why I'm not in my gown. But we wear gowns for a number of reasons. We won't go into that now. We talk about God. Now that's something. Some of my friends no longer are interested in God talk. They do not find our language about God surprising or intriguing or compelling. We wrestle with that, and yet we are here in the name of the ultimate. We're here in the name of the divine. We're here in the name of higher power and into the ongoing conscious evolution that calls us to be part of that. I could say as part of God's eternal consciousness, but we wrestle with this. Another friend of mine said, well, his grandparents did religion, his parents didn't, and as for him, well, he found his calling in the music of the 60s, never looked back, and you know, in church, we don't play the music he really loves. That's one generation, my generation, I suppose. So I guess I'm naming some things here that we all wrestle with around this form and package of how we're a community of call. We will address them. But the main thing is there are people here, you show up open and ready to meet one another, to meet the divine as you listen to music or hear a word that might speak to you, to have a connection that might help you take the next step forward if you're having a really difficult day, or perhaps change your life down the road. You don't know how right now, but that's in fact what happened to me. The day I dared to go to a coffee house in a United Church basement when I was 15 years old. Never thought that would change my life in ways that were difficult and wonderful. So we can be here now for each other. We can extend invitations, be it to the dance, the gardening, the church service, the choir, or perhaps bring your espresso machine if you'd really like to keep a community of call gathered. Yes, and that becomes a little difficult too, right? Show up for church and there's a few people lurking saying, would you sign up for? How about making coffee in April? April. Oh, jeepers, I might be traveling. I've got a workshop. My life's a little busy. No, I better not commit. I say, put your name down anyway in April and find a substitute, right? That's how we train up others. Be here now. Come and see. And oh yes, there's one other piece of agenda. I joined the United Church not only because it had some of my music from the 60s in the coffee house, but because I thought it was a social movement as well as a spiritual movement for peace and justice. It was part of something really good in the late 60s. I learned about the war in Vietnam. I had no clue. I learned about ways that our church can make a difference, and that still is the case. Tomorrow's Martin Luther King's birthday, January 16th. And one of Martin Luther King's mentors was Howard Thurman, a black theologian and preacher, who wrote the words that we sang in our first hymn. Jim Strathte popularized them, but here are Howard Thurman's words in his poem called The Work of Christmas. When the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins, to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to liberate the prisoner, to teach the nations, to bring Christ to all, to make music in the heart. Howard had a way of combining social work, social justice, and healing and transformation of the person, the prophetical and the pastoral that shaped Martin Luther King and shapes us. It was in this very church on Thursday night that I was part of a marvelous meeting because you all donated the space through public witness. A group called Unify Toronto had its foundational meeting. One of the leaders is the chair of our board's dentist. That's how he heard about it. And the dentist was there, by the way, overjoyed at our space. The purpose of this group is to bring together people who want a socially just, environmentally sustainable, spiritually fulfilling life in Toronto. How does that sound? Great, eh? So it was a number of groups of people, Awakening the Dreamer, eco-justice, climate change people, Occupy people, and faith community people. And I was told the meeting was going to be 12 to 15 people. There were 30 people. Because once people found out, they couldn't stay away. And the organizer said, what a homey, funky place to be in for our first meeting. We had popcorn and cookies were being passed around, and they liked being here. And I thought, you know, being a community of call means calling in the ones who are making change. They may not show up in church on Sunday morning, but this building is part of our call. And if we can offer hospitality, perhaps that dreaded word, radical hospitality, but if we could offer deep hospitality to those who are with us in their work, that is really something. So, know that you can simply be here now, have coffee and go home, no further expectations. We hope we get to meet you. Know that you can deeply plunge into any aspect of our work, including changing the city of Toronto. Know that you can be here and hope for some encounter or conversation and some moment that assures you you are, in fact, part of a friendly universe and part of our dare say God's eternal consciousness. Let us pray. Oh God, we come for all kinds of reasons. We come wanting something more. We come wanting to be good. We come wanting to be faithful. We come wanting to be stretched in ways that we can serve your purposes of loving kindness, of peace and justice in our world. We come wanting to make a difference. Give us what we need, O God, to serve you, to know your spirit of creative transformation better, to be part of conscious evolution. Help us share ourselves and what we have with those who need it. Amen.